This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for no cost, no obligation consultation, 586-2700. And also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town. Once again, the phone numbers 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling U.S. callers, please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speak Your Peace from the city of Cody, we have Police Chief Chuck Baker, along with City Planner Todd Stoll and Parks, Recreation, and Public Facilities Director Rick Manchester. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Darren. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. Now, I told you before the show, this is what happens when you leave the city administrator by himself on Speak Your Peace, a previous Speak Your Peace. He throws three of you guys out here to come on the radio with me. So a nice potpourri of city departments here.
I think that's a great description of what we got cooking today.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are good. It's great to have you, because I think it's nice to get the department heads to talk about what's going on in their individual departments. But I think before we get that, I think, Rick, you got the honors of going through the council agenda last night.
Did you say yawners or honors?
Well, yawners probably. looking at the lack of items on there, it's probably more like a yawner then, huh?
Yeah, it might be.
So what's up? What happened last night?
We did approval of minutes, approved vouchers, vouchers in the amount of $55,000, award bills, bought a pickup truck, approved a request from the Cody Elks Lodge for some parking access, and then authorize the city administrator to negotiate with a new public works director.
How's that going, by the way? Has he narrowed it down? Do you guys know? I know it was at five at one point, but
it did. Okay. He did narrow it down, and I have a media release here too. He's been working, and I don't know that this. I may have talked about this on the show before, but the city goes through great lengths to make sure that we can hire the best person for the position at the time we need it. And this is just a good example of it was about a 2 or 3 day process. Mm-hmm. I think everybody had a chance to see the candidates at City Park at the ice cream social and get a chance to touch the idea of who would be a good fit. It kind of spreads it out a little bit. And then it gives us a chance to learn. Obviously, we want to learn from them before they get appointed. And they want to learn. They may decide later that this isn't going to work. So it's really a two-way street in that we make sure we go through a lot of effort now so that we don't have to do that much changes in the future. So
now it's Barry has it's in his hands now to make the decision. Is that where they're at in the process, as far as you guys know?
Yep. Okay. I think Cindy made a release yesterday, the 4th, if my watch is right. Which I got a new cell phone. I hope no one calls in because I don't know how to answer.
Well, you know, you could really see if it works. Just give your phone number out over the air.
But I can only do that one time, and it has to be less than 3 minutes, right?
Can you imagine that? Do you think you'd get any complaints about the rec center if he gave his phone number out over the air? The chances of that pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's getting closer then.
Yeah, we had five finalists that went through the interview process. One that was that we're doing not an investigation, but a just background checks on is Philip Bowman from McCall, Idaho.
Okay.
We're working out, and I say we, I mean Barry, is working on the final touches to make sure, again, that that's the right fit for what he needs and what our candidate needs. He's got 22 years experience, including public, private, and county municipal work. All in the engineering field, which is that was the hard part that we were looking for, was someone that could do the public works director position, the engineering position, the uniqueness of the job that we had before, it was very hard to.
That's what
to
happens pick. When you get a job like that in Cody, right? You have you to know, do a little bit of everything, right?
And when you get so specialized, then there's really nobody out there that matches it. You really got to work and make it come together. Lots of certifications, technical. What MUTCD? What do you think that is, Todd?
Actually, Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices.
Of course, Todd would know that, man, because I have no idea what that was.
All I need is resources.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So what's his name again, Rick, the gentleman's name?
It is Philip Bowman.
And he's from Idaho.
He's from McCall, Idaho.
McCall, okay, good. Well, and then we'll see. Hopefully that's the guy and that everything works out. And Barry will be making, the decision of whether he wants to take this or not will be made soon, I'm assuming.
Right, yep. They have a date penciled in for October 15th as when he would start.
Okay,
so we're pretty deep in the process.
So did you three sit in on the? I understand that part of the whole this whole hiring process. The candidates stood in front of or were in front of us department heads, and you guys got to ask them questions. Was that part of it?
There was a community group that was able to do some Q&A and talk about what their strengths are and what their ideas were. There is a professional group of those with backgrounds in the department or in public works.
Oh, okay.
Then they did a group staff review with the public works guys and the whole department, just a chance to meet them face to face. And I'm missing one.
Did you guys ask any questions? Did you guys read?
Yeah,
questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the interview panel, both Rick and I were on it. Chief was out of town, so we had a fill-in for the police.
I had our patrol lieutenant Stafford sat in on that process. I was out of town, but I did get a chance to sit in on the staff meeting when the public works staff.
Oh, okay.
Had a chance, and that was really a great opportunity for the entire public works staff to have some interaction, and then they were allowed to comment to the city administrator on what their thoughts were, and they really asked some really good questions and drilled down to that level.
From your standpoint, when you guys were sitting in, Rick and Todd, is it just a matter of, I mean, what were you interested in knowing about these candidates? Just maybe their experience in working with other departments and past jobs, or what kind of things did you ask them?
You know, we had a set of 10 questions that we answered everybody, asked everybody to answer with it. So we followed that level. One of the things that I look for is the ability to play well with others.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's important because you guys work together as a team at the city. Yeah,
right. It makes life so much more enjoyable if we can all work together and we've done actually done a very good job with. In fact, I'm looking here. I might be the senior member. Chuck, we brought in from out of town, and he's doing a great job. And Todd was here. Todd came in, I think, a year or two after I did.
Yep.
So that's why you got stuck reading the agenda.
So that's why I got the agenda. All right.
What are the things, Todd, were kind of along the same lines as Rick as far as this public works director finalist or candidates?
I guess just someone with a good perspective. I think there was a desire among both groups to have someone that had both private and public experience in the engineering field. In other words, there were people concerned, well, if they've only worked in the public sector, they may not have the perspective of someone, that's been on kind of both sides of the fence in the developer's perspective. And there were a few candidates with that experience. Philip is one of those, both public and private perspective. Just overall well-rounded. But really should say all the candidates had really good qualities.
She had a
qualities.
Pretty good crop to pick from, it sounds like.
If you heard or not, the first advertisement, they put together a group of people to interview of five. We had four of the five drop out before the interview happened. So they decided to re-advertise. So this is really kind of that second round of advertisements. And the group that we got this second round was really outstanding.
Well, and that's what even going through it, a pretty extensive process, those three that backed out or four that backed out, the process is working. It's thinning them out before they get here. So
instead of working for like 2 weeks and then deciding they don't want to do this kind of thing.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
And I think it's important to emphasize just the importance of, you know, obviously what you guys do, but how important a public works director is to the city. I mean, every I guess, job duty has its importance, but what the public works guy does here in Cody is critical, and I think you guys can all agree on that.
Right, yep.
Now, anything else about the council meeting, Rick, that you wanted to mention, or is that pretty much it?
You know, that was pretty much it. We did get into the pesticide and household hazardous waste collection days.
Okay, when is that? Yeah, that's good. that's important.
It's important. Yes, it is. It is collection days for Friday, September 14th at Park County Fairgrounds, and that's Friday, the September 14th. Cody is Saturday, September 15th at 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. at the Cody Recycling Center on 15th Street. And just I'll hit some of the highlights on what to bring. Household quantities only, no drums. So bleach, corrosive material, silver polish, ammonia products, used motor oil, transmission fluid, cleaning solvent, carpet and upholstery cleaners. So there's a whole list, and I'm sure that it's on the city's website. I appreciate Chuck bringing this for us.
And this is, again, Saturday the 15th of September at the Recycling Center.
At the Recycling Center in Cody.
And what time? Is it all day? Is it?
It is 9 a.m. till 3 p.m.
Is this the first time? I don't think it's the first time. I mean, the city does this a lot, but I mean, so these kind of things, do they get pretty good turnout? Do you guys know? Do they get a lot of people come and bring some of the stuff that they want to get rid of, these things?
Well, I think the most important thing is offering that option. Because what we don't want happening, and I have a code enforcement officer that can tell you about this, is we don't want people leaving it on the side of the road or behind a building or, you know, just, you know, those kind of products somewhere where they don't know where to dispose of it, so they leave it somewhere. That can be very hazardous and dangerous to a whole bunch of different reasons. And so offering this is very helpful to our code enforcement and to the well-being of our community, quite honestly.
And like you said, Rick, I think this probably is on the website, so if people want to know exactly what they can and can't bring to something like this, again, it's Saturday, September 15th at the Recycling Center.
Let me give you a phone number, too. James Keenan is the contact for the city of Cody, and he is 587-2958, 587-2958.
Before we take a break, is there anything else regarding a council activity that any one of you guys want to bring up that's happened or it's happened in the past that we can cover? And then we can go into some details of what your departments are doing here after the break. Anything else that you wanted to, Rick, that happened that's noteworthy?
No, it was fairly direct and to the point last night.
That's the way we like it.
Yeah.
Fair and direct to the point. That's a good thing. Well, we're going to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with the City of Cody, we have Police Chief Chuck Baker here, along with City Planner Todd Stoll, along with Parks and Recreation and Public Facilities Director Rick Manchester. Give us a call, 587-1400. Back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Ready for new flooring? Head to Haskell Furniture and Flooring for the Summer Blowout Sale. This is Kim Scheid, Flooring Manager, and we have exciting cash and carry pricing on carpet, tile, wood, laminate, and vinyl. We can answer all your flooring questions, and there's no substitute for our personal professional service. Also, enjoy 12 months of interest-free financing with your good credit. It pays to shop the Summer Blowout Sale at Haskell Furniture and Flooring in Cody, Lovell, and Moreland, where we have better than Billings pricing every day.
When you need collision repair, you can trust the experience of Reno Collision Center, where we assure you of quality auto body repair by certified technicians. Reno Collision Center. We're small enough to provide personal service, large enough to have highly trained technicians and state-of-the-art equipment. In fact, you may not even know you were in an accident. Cody's choice for expert collision repair, Reno Collision Center, just north of Veterans Memorial Park in Cody. Call 527-5556.
The Bighorn Co-op has locations in Riverton, Worland, Basin, Powell, Grable, and Buffalo to help you travel around our area. They've got everything a convenience store needs and so, so much more. From new tires and the guys to put them on to animal feeds and pet supplies, you can pick up supplies to fix your furnace or your plumbing. Fill your vehicle with gas and fill your tummy with treats. Stop by and see what the Bighorn Co-op has to make your day easier. The Bighorn Co-op in Grable, Basin, Worland, Riverton, Powell, and Buffalo.
Bighorn Pro-Line, made in America, has a very strong message attached. With fabrication and welding since 1988, the experts at Bighorn Pro-Line custom build every pickup flatbed or bumper right here in the USA. This family-owned business is proud of what they do and how they do it. If you're looking for a hard-working, long-lasting flatbed or bumper for your truck, call 754-7119. On the web at bighornproline.com or in Powell on Allen Road.
As Montana's insurance commissioner, Matt Rosendale's been busy running a, quote, money laundering scheme.
All designed to dodge campaign finance laws and stuff his own pocket.
Rosendale went on junkets in places like Washington, D.C. and Miami.
Paid for by an out-of-state group where he rubbed elbows with insurance lobbyists.
He raised over $16,000 from insurance executives in Florida.
Then Rosendale cut himself a check from his campaign account to his personal bank account when he got back to Montana.
Rosendale also hired an insurance industry lobbyist to help run his office.
Sent a private note to insurance companies in Montana saying they could raise insurance rates.
And rubber-stamped 23% increases in premiums.
Go to RosendaleMoneyTrail.com to follow the trail of money.
To see that being insurance commissioner has been really good for Matt Rosendale.
But bad for Montanans.
This is John Tester, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Montanans for Tester.
Did you know aging pets suffer from many of the same ailments as people, like arthritis, diabetes, blindness, gum disease, and kidney disease? Just like with our human bodies, our beloved pets get older, their bodies change, and as they become senior pets, they need more specialized care. This is Jim Pryor from Lifetime Small Animal Hospital in Cody. During the month of September, we're focusing on senior pet health. Scheduling a senior pet exam will help doctors detect any health problems before they become advanced or life-threatening. During your visit, take advantage of our discounts on senior pet blood work. Dental appointments will receive a 10% discount on any cleanings or dental procedures. And during your pet's visit, if the doctor recommends a particular pet food, your first bag will be free. It's certain to be a great food designed to keep your pet looking and feeling its best. Call Lifetime Small Animal Hospital today and make an appointment to keep your senior pet healthy. 587-4324.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with, from the city of Cody, city planner Todd Stoll, along with Parks, Recreation, and Public Facilities Director Rick Manchester, along with Police Chief Chuck Baker. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Chief, we'll go to you and some of the stuff that's happening in your department. And I think it might have been the last time when Barry was on. It was regarding a pawnbroker license, and the interesting thing I found that some people I think assume, but there is a connection when businesses like pawn shops get a license and they start business in town, and their connection with the police department, and obviously because people like to pawn, some people will pawn things that are stolen, and you guys got to keep a close eye on that. So what is the department's connection with those pawn shops?
Well, it was back on August 21st that came before council. It was the approval of a license, and the gentleman that's operating Cody Pawn at 713 16th Street had previously operated a pawn shop in the city, so he was approved. I mean, this is a business, and it requires state licensing, local licensing, and then he deals with firearms, and so it requires federal licensing as well, you know, for his firearms. And there's, quite honestly, basically pawn shops, paycheck loans, cash checking places, rent to own, they all fall underneath, you know, they're an alternative banking method for a lot of demographics in many communities. And, you don't have to open an account and those sorts of things. And there's a lot of people that are either have no bank accounts or are underbank. So this does offer them an alternative banking method to loans and access to cash in emergency circumstances. But yes, no doubt, pawn shops have a image and a reputation that they have to get over. And the law certainly covers most of the issues, but we have developed a good relationship with them. You know, they report electronically at the point of sell, or at the point of the transaction. I should not say sell, but at the point of transaction, they report electronically. So we know what happened the moment it happens, basically. I mean, we don't view it daily. But They are required to report to us on an incremental basis by municipal ordinance. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, the bad reputation of dealing in stolen property, and a lot of people assume that these lenders and, you know, charge, you know, exorbitant amounts of interest, and, you know, pawn shops are dark, dingy places. But quite honestly, they're a legitimate business that offer a service to certain demographics in our community.
Do you said that the city ordinance requires them to, I guess, or enables you guys to be able to look at what people are pawning at their shop. Is that kind of the way it is throughout the country and for the most part?
Absolutely. I mean, this day and age with electronic and you know, and the ability to view the service that we contract with is called Leads Online, and we have access to pawned property all across the country. And so if we had a local theft that may have occurred in our community, and a lot of times mostly, you know, tools and gold and silver and those sorts of things, if they're stolen here and pawned in Montana and they go through a pawn shop that utilizes Leads Online, you know, we would be notified of that.
Has that been a valuable resource to you? I mean, they have pawn shops and their ability to work with you guys and stuff like that?
Absolutely. We've had access to Leads Online. We have our own account now. We previously would share an account with other law enforcement agencies and utilize their information. But we have our own account now, and we're able to track that.
Well, that's good to know. And I like pawn shops. I think, Rick, you pointed that out, too. You can find a lot of cool things at pawn shops. And it's nice that they have that connection with the police department.
That's the other service that they provide, quite honestly. Obviously, they offer, you know, short-term cash loans to people that may have an emergency need.
Sure.
But they also, you know, so a lot of times if you walk through a pawn shop, they offer a wide variety of forfeited items that they, you know, they end up with. And sometimes they're, you know, at reduced or discounted rates or prices.
You know, I got you in here. I have to ask you, Chief, to give us an update on the body cameras that the department is give us, I guess, the timeline and where it's at and how it's going, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, the body camera program, we went active and went live a month or so ago, and we went live in the form of a pilot program. And the only reason I did it that way, we had a policy that we had written and we had adopted, but I really wanted to work through the concerns of the operational aspect of the policy. So we implemented it as a pilot program, and it gave us an opportunity to really evaluate all the logistical issues and operational issues with it, you know, the recovery of it. And we ran into a couple of issues. It was mostly related to how we were categorizing the data. You know, we recapture so much data.
Oh, yeah.
You have to categorize it correctly, and then you have to retain it as within the Wyoming state statutes. And more importantly, you have to purge it, you know, appropriately for data that has no value or does not require lengthy retention. Because if you don't, you end up with an IT system and IT folks all over you because you're blowing up at the seams with data. Yeah. But we are able to access it, and the program is working well. I can tell you this, you know, one of the things is we did get a grant, and I've talked about that grant before, mm-hmm. from the DOJ, and all the grant had some, you know, hoops that we had to jump through, and had some difficulties. But quite honestly, it did guide us along the implementation phase. It guided us through that. We had support from the Department of Justice all along the way. Internally, I've got some great subject matter experts. You know, I have one officer particularly that has really ran with the program throughout the whole thing. Scott Burlingame's done an exceptional job. It's basically his baby, you know, and he's running with it, and he's taken a lot of ownership. And but as an organization, it's really working out well. It is, you know, one of the things is we have to report to the Department of Justice how we use the body camera in officer complaints, criminal investigations, and so forth. And so we are capturing data and reporting to the Department of Justice. And just as an example, you know, you'll have an officer make a traffic stop and we'll get a complaint. This is, you know, somebody will say the officer was rude or used foul language or something like that. I can go back to the body camera in 30 seconds, pull up the camera and either sustain that or unfound it, you know, and have some conversation with either the officer or the complainant, you know, about what really happened and what we're seeing, you know, and resolve some of those minor issues very quickly.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Judy Frisbee.
Hi, Judy.
Good morning. I have a question for Chief Baker. In the Billings Gazette, there's been an incident where
a junior boy sexually assaulted four Billings girls. And, of course, he's been moved from Skyview to, he's in an alternative setting. But it's been in the paper three times, always on the front page. And the thing that I want Chief Baker to receive, he just mentioned policy a minute ago. In the second article, it said that they're having a problem right now because they do not have a policy that is between the police department and the school district and the county attorney's office as to how they are going to govern and communicate. So my question to him, does School District 6 have a policy about, you know, between the police department and the county attorney's office and the school district about how you would handle a situation like this?
Quite honestly, Judy, I'm not completely familiar with the case that you're talking about, but I can tell you that, you know, we have a very strong working relationship with all three of us, with the county attorney's office and the school district. Specific to a policy, I don't think I'm unable to answer that question at this point. You're talking about a working policy related to communication and sharing of information?
Correct, because apparently the police department was made aware of this a long time before the school district knew about it. It was a 17-year-old boy. He's a senior this year, but it happened when he was a junior. Maybe it was even a sophomore. I don't remember. Anyway, he was a football star, but the problem was the police department did not communicate with them. You know, they were doing their job, and just like you said, there's a very good relationship between the three in Billings also, but because there was no policy that the police department was to notify the school district of what they were looking into, now they've got problems. And so my question is can, because there's a strong possibility, when the Riverton thing blew up about the wrestlers that the seniors who sexually assaulted the freshmen on the bus. And then, of course, this summer it came out that same thing happened in North Dakota, that it was with a swimming team, and it happened in the locker room in North Dakota instead of in the bus. But anyway, so then I called, when it came out about North Dakota too, I called the school district and got a copy of our two policies regarding hazing or that type of bullying, and then also one because a friend of mine said, well, Judy, this really falls under Title III, I believe it is, which is ACLU. And so I wanted that policy also. And so then I took that to the school board members and said, you know, this is because the one policy was 13 years old and didn't in any way address the problem that they had in Riverton. And it was all adult to adult, because 13 years ago we didn't seem to have the problems that we have now. I think our society has changed. But now when I read this thing and what's going on in Billings, my guess is that we are sitting right where Billings is sitting, and that's what happened with North Dakota, is we were sitting right where they were sitting, and they had just a real major situation there. So it's just a kind of an FYI. I think that the school district and the police department and the county attorney's office needs to make sure that they have a policy that makes sure that as soon as the police department is made aware of something, that the school district knows also, because that maybe a couple of girls wouldn't have had to have been assaulted had there been more communication.
Judy, I appreciate the comments, and I'll do some checking. But I can tell you, if there was a crime that's reported to the police department of something that occurs in the school, obviously it would probably been reported by a member of the school. And generally, we do communicate with each other related to those investigations. But I can check to see if, with using your example, and I'll talk to Ray Schulte and the county attorney, to make sure that we don't have those concerns. But I can tell you, when we do have a reported case like that, one of the things, I mean, one of the first questions is about the safety and security of victims and, you know, minimizing any additional victimization that may occur, you know, to ensure
well,
public
see,
safety.
See, that's what happened here, too. See, it's just almost parallel because the three of the assaults did not happen on school turf. Mm-hmm. One did happen on school turf.
Okay, I understand.
And so that is why, but yet this student, and he was a star, it wasn't, like I said, I just think that there, if the three entities could get together and make sure that, and there's a law firm in Minneapolis, St. Paul, that is working for the North Dakota one, and it might be faster and easier just to contact them and say, hey, what'd you guys come up with, and to, you know, start from the get-go.
Thank you for the information. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Judy, thanks for the call. Bye. Appreciate it. Okay, interesting. Well, we're going to go. I want to go back to the body cameras real fast, Chief, and just the question. You said you started with a pilot program. How many police officers did that entail, and where are you at now? Does everybody have them now?
Absolutely. So all of our police officers, our school resource officer and our code enforcement officer wear body cameras. All of our marked patrol cars are equipped with in-car cameras. I don't know if you saw recently, but our officer actually captured the mountain lion on in-car camera that was going through the neighborhoods, and then we got the whole Fish and Wild Game involved, and they end up capturing that animal. But the and we are in the process of hiring a part-time code enforcement officer to supplement our program, and that person will also be equipped with a body camera.
And all, you know, before we jump to the other departments, you told me during the break about the Coffee with Cops starting up again, or there's an annual and national event associated with that?
You know, we had when I first got here, we had quite a few events. They were all very successful. I think they ran their course. But there is a national Coffee with a Cop Day that's recognized nationally, and the promoters try to get police departments around the country to participate. And we will participate. It's October 3rd, which is a Wednesday. And so we're going to have officers in a variety of locations just doing what they normally do anyway when they're in coffee shops, and that's interacting with our community and having some casual conversations.
Is there any more talk? I know it was mentioned briefly on this program, and I can't remember, Chief, if you were here when it happened, but a police dog. Is that something that the department's still looking at? Is that a possibility, or what's the update with that?
Sure. You know, one of the things is that I've had several conversations with City Council during our budget process in 2017 or 18-19 budget. We do not have anything in the budget, but there is interest at that level. There's interest within the police department, you know, but sustaining a canine program is difficult. It's not like a piece of equipment that you can put on the shelf and until the next time you need to use it. You know, it requires a lot of commitment by the canine officer and the organization and the city, quite honestly, because there's a financial cost to that. But it's still on our work plan and as a priority to continue to evaluate.
In the, I'm assuming the biggest benefit of having that would be drug enforcement. Is there other areas that are very handy in having?
You know, yes, that would be the primary purpose. It wouldn't be a lot of police agencies, you know, will use canine programs for apprehension and those sorts of programs. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would go that route. But it would be drug enforcement.
Drug enforcement, okay. I want to go to the city planning department. And, Todd, a couple things. Anything going on in your department? You talk about some handicap ramps that they're being worked on currently or going to be worked on?
Actually, slightly beyond my responsibilities, but public works generally, if I can talk about that.
Absolutely.
Okay. A couple things going on. Probably you've seen a few sidewalks torn up at intersections around town. Long Stampede, so forth. Just so you're aware of what's going on there, the city is in the process of replacing a lot of those handicap or ADA ramps at the corners. That was part of that one penny specific purpose tax that was approved by voters. So if you want to see where that money's going, that's one of the areas,
the
projects.
Huh? Nice.
So contractors are working through that pretty well. You're seeing progress, I guess, on that. The other thing I'll mention is the 17th Street intersection study. Mm-hmm. That's the Sheridan Avenue.
Everybody's favorite intersection in town,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. just a status update on that. There is a Cody Urban Systems Board, committee working with the consultants on that. We had the public meeting. The committee went through the comments received. Engineering firm went through the comments. And the group's identified five alternatives that they're going to investigate further.
Wow, five,
okay.
Huh?
What those are, I can just say generally.
Generally, sure.
Is that idea, not necessarily in any order, but the idea of a roundabout will be investigated. The idea of an eastbound underpass, basically that's the conflicting turning movement that crosses the northbound traffic. Effectively, it would be an underpass that would take the eastbound traffic under the intersection East Sheridan.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
All right.
That will be investigated. There's also a reconfiguration that involves Sheridan Avenue, Beck, and 17th Street.
Hmm. That'll be fun.
It would require a significant amount of private property to accomplish, but that's one idea that they'll look at.
Sure.
And then fourth, a signalized T intersection, basically just a signal and teeing up the intersection. And then a fifth alternative is the do nothing alternative. Now we say do nothing. There could be some minor adjustments,
such as
signage, lane striping, stuff like that, but effectively just work with what's there. So those are the alternatives that are being investigated further by the consultants. It'll be another month and a half or so before they actually come up with the ideas. And then we will set a public meeting to present the specific layouts of these different ideas and get community feedback on those.
Chief Baker, I haven't got a chance to ask you on the air, just your thoughts on that 17th and Sheridan and your experience as a police officer. I mean, you've seen probably some crazy intersections being from metropolitan areas, but what do you think about that thing?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times those types, as a community grows and obviously we get more volumes of traffic, traffic volume is the problem,
mm-hmm.
I think. You know, I mean, you know, even as little as 15 years ago or a little more maybe, you know, the volumes were less and it was a workable intersection. But as in volumes increase and then the local businesses change and the environment and the community changes, you have to take a real critical look at those intersections. Now, when previous public works director, I provided them a lot of statistics related to accidents. The biggest problem is we have a lot of reports of near misses.
Yeah.
It's not documented. So it's very hard to determine that, you know, those near miss calculations. So, yeah, but it's definitely an intersection that needs some consideration.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break on Speakerpiece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with the city of Cody, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speakerpiece right after these messages.
Thinking of starting a business or expanding your current one? Talk to Bighorn Federal. Experienced commercial lenders offer local loan approval for prompt service. And Bighorn Federal's expanded online business banking makes everyday tasks a snap. From making loan payments to managing your cash, save time and money today by calling Bighorn Federal. Certified local, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Friends of a Legacy, or FOLE, is hosting its fifth annual Mustang Rendezvous on Saturday, September 8th at the Boot and Bottle Club located at 69 South Fork Highway. They'll have a catered dinner, a cash bar, live music with Jeff Troxel, plus live and silent auctions with original art and experience packages. The fun starts at 5 p.m. Tickets are available at the Cody Chamber and online at friendsofalegacy.org. Ticket donations are $40 for adults, children 12 and under for $20. That's Saturday, September 8th for the Mustang Rendezvous.
September's Sell Down Month at Midway RV in Cody and Moreland. Both locations have a great selection of new campers, and we are dealing like never before. Huge dealer discounts and low, low financing rates make this a perfect time to upgrade a fifth wheel or fit all the kids and friends with a bunkhouse model. Midway RV in Cody and Moreland will be offering top dollar on your trades during the September Sell Down. Come select the right camper at the right price during Midway September Sell Down. Wyoming's number one RV dealership, MidwayCampers.com.
Daybreak with Darren Dudrick.
You look at the movies that are loved by generation after generation. I mean, Grease is one of those. Its success Grease was absolutely amazing. Hollywood still to this day hasn't seen a whole lot of movies that can match this, the success of Grease, both musically and at the box office.
Daybreak with Darren Dudrick, mornings 6 to 10 on KODI.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, State Farm agent Jen Talich in Cody can help you get to a better state because she and her team talk with you, listen to you, and help put together a policy that has you written all over it. From cost to coverage, all backed up by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Jen Talich in Cody and officially get to a better state with State Farm.
We're making magic at Monster Lake Ranch. This is Chef DeWitt inviting you to join us for dinner at the Bliss Restaurant. Now, we have delicious steaks and pork chops, but I'm from Louisiana, and I'd love for you to try our crawfish, shrimp, and other delicacies. Dinner is Thursday through Saturday, and you can enjoy cocktails in our saloon. Planning a wedding or corporate retreat? We have just the place. Monster Lake Ranch, just 10 minutes south of Cody. Call us today, 587-5960.
September is Sell Down Month at Midway RV in Cody and Moreland. Both locations have a great selection of new campers, and we are dealing like never before. Huge dealer discounts and low, low financing rates make this a perfect time to upgrade a fifth wheel or fit all the kids and friends with a bunkhouse model. Midway RV in Cody and Moreland will be offering top dollar on your trades during the September Sell Down. Come select the right camper at the right price during Midway September Sell Down. Wyoming's number one RV dealership, MidwayCampers.com.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today, visiting with from the city of Cody, Rick Manchester, Todd Stahl, and Police Chief Chuck Baker. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Tomorrow on Speak Your Peace, speaking of the 17th and Sheridan study, Cody Beers will be my guest. So we'll talk probably more about that on Speak Your Peace tomorrow. Meanwhile, Todd, I know that you said Barry Cook, in city administrator, isn't here today because he's going to be at a meeting tomorrow. Is it tomorrow, but regarding the Wyoming Business Council? What's the regarding Gunworks, right?
The Wyoming Business Council is in town. I don't know the extent of all the meetings. This is kind of secondhand.
Sure.
Third hand for you guys now.
Yeah,
so hopefully I'll get it right. But, Barry's meeting with Wyoming Business Council. They're looking at the Gunworks project specifically. I don't know if they have any others they're looking at.
From Powell, too.
Yeah.
The conference center, I think, hotel conference.
Yeah, I believe so. So the word that I've heard is that at the staff level, the Wyoming Business Council is recommending full funding for the Gunworks project. That's both a loan and a grant.
It's a total of $6
million. $6 million. So I don't know when the actual decision of the Wyoming Business Council will be, but I know it's coming up here soon. But at least at the staff level, the project has support. So if that goes through, yeah, I believe it'll go forward pretty much immediately, construction over the winter or next spring, I think is what they're looking at. And it's a sizable project, you know, significant new jobs to the community. So definitely a good thing.
In light of what's happened at Cody Labs, unfortunately, it's nice to see something with Gunworks working out in this at this capacity. That's a really good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Rick, I want to ask you about Beck Lake. You're telling me during the break. What's going on with Beck Lake?
Well, there's some ideas going around that they'd like to stock it with fish, trout, more so than what they're doing now. But they're afraid that they're going to compete too much with the rough fish that are there, the perch. And I think they maybe tried some walleye in there. And
The bully fish? Is that what you call them?
Rough fish.
Oh, rough. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. All right.
They don't want to just keep dumping money into the trout planting because for obvious reasons, for cost.
Sure.
So the concept that's being tossed around is to drain Beck Lake.
Hmm.
Kill off what's in there, and then make it into another trout hatchery. There's two sides to this discussion.
Now, who's talking about this? Yeah, who are they talking about this?
Well, the Parks and Rec Department's been asked whether we would think that's a good idea or not. But and then we would take it to city. Actually, city council would get it really rather quickly. They're going to talk about it on September 11th. There's Game and Fish. Is interested in it. because they'll be doing the fish installation and the and taking care of what's going on there. It's really very preliminary, but there's been a lot of discussion. You'll start seeing some signs put up that say, please don't dump non-native fish into this lake or this waterway. It's at the beginning point, and on September 11th, the Fish and Game is going to come and talk to City Council and just see what interest there is. Part of the problem is just the cost. It's still just the cost.
Has that ever been done to Beck Lake? I mean, or was the last time something like that's been done?
I think they dredged it before, but I don't know if they took it down to zero. I'm not sure.
When would they do something like that? What time of year?
There's so much stuff that's got to be worked out.
I mean, it'd be like a summertime or a springtime thing if they ever decide to do something like that, right?
Right. Yeah. The planning part, I'm not sure.
Interesting.
It is interesting. In fact, when it first brought up, I thought, drain Beck Lake? That's crazy part. But they are talking it'd be about a 5 or 6 year a project that would last for 5 to 6 years.
I'm sure.
And you'd have to do it again type of deal.
So. Has this been spurred by the increased, interest in fishing out there? Or just what's...
I'm not real sure where it started from to speak with any authority on it. So... That's what I'm also in the fact-finding mode on September 11th with Game and Fish and the local fishing group.
Well, we should point out, though, people dumping non-native fish in there. That's been a problem off and on for years at Beck Lake. And I don't think people really understand, because I've had people from the Game and Fish and Fish and Wildlife in here, just how not good that is for the population
in
Beck Lake.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate.
Well, and quit doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
for one thing.
Yeah, I mean, people do stupid things, and I just I don't know why people do stuff like that. They should know better, but they just dump them off. And
well, the other thing, I don't want City Hall's phone ringing off the hook. There's not been a decision.
This is in the phase.
Early in the phase.
And things we've talked about today, we should point out, going back to the 17th and Sheridan study, those are ideas that are going to be brought public. So people nobody get too excited about this is what's going to happen at 17th Street and Sheridan regarding Beck Lake 2.
Yeah. And
anything else?
You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's right. You hear it here first as usual. Thank you there, Rick. Anything else you have coming on in the rec department you like to?
You know, the Library Foundation started talking about a Harmony Park, and we got a location that was.
What's a Harmony Park? Yeah, what's a Harmony Park?
It's a lot more sophisticated than what it sounds like, but. Like a xylophone in the park that are musically tuned to play it as an instrument, and there's a group that's going to put that in. We're hoping to do it still this fall down at City Park by where Buffalo Bill's holding the child on his shoulder.
Oh, you can be in harmony with Buffalo Bill
there.
In harmony with Bill. So, what kind of instruments they put in these harmony parks? I mean, they go like
percussion stuff. I'm not a musician. Any musicians in here?
You'll put electric guitar there, and you can Jimi Hendrix, and you can just play the. Is that
if you get the right permit? Yeah,
right. It takes a total permit. So you get you. It's just.
It's a circle of.
Come up with these. These are cool ideas.
Twice as big as a room as this, and then, bing bong boom.
Now that could be interesting if you get a group of kids there.
Right.
And for people in the area that hear that, I'm sure Police Chief Chuck Baker is looking forward to hearing the noise complaints right?
We do have a new noise ordinance, as you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. So that includes the Harmony Park.
And the group has put together an extensive list of places that it would work and then places that it would not work. And ideally, since it was the Library Foundation, they wanted to do something close over to the library area.
That's interesting. It's a nice twist on a park.
You know, the good part is check out the website, put in Harmony Park, and they'll give you some examples.
So when we say Harmony Park, we're talking about a portion of City Park,
a 20-foot circle.
20-foot circle.
30-foot circle.
Okay, maybe. It's a park within a park.
It's a park within a park.
Speaking of the park, how's Mentauk Park and the new equipment there? Every time I drive by, it's like crowded.
It's so cool. Yeah,
you get a lot of good feedback from it?
Lots of people. We had some repairs we had to make, just that with tightening nuts and screws and stuff. So, but yeah, it's fantastic. And like you said, every time you drive by, there's a it's plethora.
It's amazing how many people are at that park now.
Yeah.
Now, one more thing regarding Beck Lake, the trail out there. How's that? What kind of summer's that had?
It's good. They've been monitoring when the rain comes and actually closing it early this spring because of we don't want to tear it up.
Sure.
So
the water is extremely rough on it, obviously, right?
Yes.
And the mud, and it changes the
mostly
road.
It's the bikers that are, if they ride it on the mud,
then
it's a problem. But we put up a sign, we put up some barricades, and for the most part, people have been respectful of that, and I've been able to enforce some things while we're out there. So doing well.
And I'm assuming that the people are going using it every weekend, getting a lot of feedback from the public and so forth.
Yep. It's a great facility. They've had a couple work days to kind of get in there and tamp down the ground, and it's working very well.
That's this Beck Lake thing. It's really neat how it's hit a lot of headlines recently. I mean, there's the activity out there. What was the reason for that? I mean, it seemed like with the you got the bike park, the trail park. Now they're talking about increasing fishing out there.
Right.
It's been kind of like a highlight of Cody, isn't it?
You know, it's kind of a jewel, a diamond in the rough right now. We've had some discussion of doing a for disc golf course out there, and I have some room put together to do that, and it's grown into a regional park. And by regional park, it means people will drive here to get to that park. They'll come over from Powell and have a birthday party or a class reunion, any of those type of social activities. Beck Lake is a prime example of just growing into a regional facility.
What's the status of the pickleball park, pickleball courts at what park's it at?
Doris Miller.
There's so many parks in Cody, I lose track of them. So how's that? What's the status of that?
You know, they're still just working on the money part. We got they're about $115,000 to go type of deal.
So it's just around the corner then.
Right around the corner.
Just to wrap things up, Todd, anything from your department that you want to share with the community, anything going on that any building or any activity in town people might notice? Obviously the handicap ramps we talked about or anything else? That's not your department, point out. That's not your department.
Off the top of my head, let me think. The by Western Hands.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay,
downtown.
On 12th Street.
Yep, on 12th Street. That's coming along well. I think they're wanting to have that wrapped up here in the next month or two. What else is going on? Gunworks, we talked about.
Now the by Western Hands, that'll be associated with Rendezvous Royale, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. That's the final. I don't know if it's directly, indirectly. I don't know how that relationship is.
Sure, to some extent, okay.
But, yeah, definitely fits in with that hands-on arts component. The Bighorn Medical office building's now open out on Bighorn Avenue. So that project, there's a few touch-ups to go with that, but generally they're open and operating there.
Chief, anything to wrap things up?
Well, yeah, sure. Real quickly, you know, obviously school opened, you know, the first day of school was August 28th, 1 week ago or a week and a day or so ago. And so just wanted to remind everybody there'll be some additional high visibility patrols in those schools during the school zone speed areas, and keep your speed down and watch for kids on bikes and pedestrians going to and from school while the weather's still warm.
All right, gentlemen. Hey, thanks for coming in today. Now, now you guys maybe learned a lesson. Next time you have to come in with Barry, otherwise you guys get stuck. All three coming together, right?
Yeah.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for coming. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Darren.
Yep.
And that will do it for Speaker Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.